NCAA tournament underway. They're at the half, wherever West Virginia and Maryland are playing. I have to assume it's in Orlando because that's where CBS is, and I believe CBS follows Duke. I follow Brian Geisinger on Twitter, at @BGeis_Bird. He joins us, Pack Pride, Devil's Den, Streaking the Law, and he writes about every ACC school and probably a bunch of others I don't even know about. And he joins us to talk a little hoops. So let me ask you this, Brian Geisinger. Is Oral Roberts the only team standing between Duke and the Final Four?
It's funny. You're definitely not the only one to at least in half jest consider that. No, I don't think they're the only team, but it's a pretty tough first round opponent. I know Duke has played very well for the last month or so, but man, yeah, that is a tough championship caliber team with an NBA. Guard running its offense.
Right.
That's been in college for a long time, too. So, yeah, that is tough to see. And, it's going to be up to certainly a team effort, but it'll be a big opportunity for Tyrese Proctor probably to guard the ball and for, Derek Lively to be mobile, active, guarding pick and roll, shut down the rim, and stay out of foul trouble.
All of that has happened for the most part over the 9-game winning streak, including the 3. At the ACC tournament, Brian Geisinger is joining us. A couple of years ago, Duke wasn't in the NCAA tournament. Oral Roberts was, and they got to the Sweet 16. Again, you think Oral Roberts, yeah, they're no problem. No, this team has won a ton of games this year. What Max, I guess it's pronounced Amas, he's a really, really good player. He's the guy you reference with the ball. What is the challenge of stopping him? Is Proctor up to it?
I think Proctor has as good of a shot as just about anybody, short of, Reese Beekman from Virginia or Jalen Clark from UCLA, who unfortunately is hurt right now. But these are the elite sort of on-ball point-of-attack defenders that we have in the college game. And, Proctor is not the steals machine that those guys are, as you and I have discussed, Gold, but he's very good at keeping the ball in front, keeping contact with the guys that he's guarding on or off the ball and using his length. And he's going to need that because he's going to be at, speed disadvantage. And so he's going to have to lean on screen navigation, his length, and knowing that Lively is, floating around to, put out any potential fires. But Amas, he is a guy that has big time range. He can ring and shoot it from off the dribble from way out. So, I'm not sure Proctor has necessarily seen a guy quite like this. I mean, he did a great job against Terquavion Smith, who maybe that can sort of, serve as a facsimile of sorts. But, I mean, the last time Proctor saw Smith and Cameron, that was, Turk's been in a bit of a slump for a while now. So, maybe not as opposed to Amas, who's playing at a very, very high level. It really has been for several years now.
Look, Oral Roberts is not afraid to launch threes. I mean, Amas has taken over 300 of them this year. He has made 117 threes. I'm not sure Duke as a team has made 117 threes. He's made 117 on his own. But Duke has been generally good at guarding the three-point line.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they've got a lot of length around the perimeter. Guys like Mark Mitchell, guys like Tyrese Proctor on the ball, and having a guy like Lively that gives you the kind of versatility because of his size and his mobility, you can do a lot of different things with him. I mean, the Pittsburgh game in Cameron 2 months ago, they used him to switch and to have Derek Lively go out and switch on guys like Jamarius Burton, Nellie Cummings, big time off dribble pull up shot makers. Against NC State, they used Derek Lively to play above the level of the screen and sort of show on those ball screens a little bit. And, Jarkel had a big game shooting in Cameron, making some really tough shots. Jarkel Joyner, that is. But they did a nice job against Terquavion Smith. And so having a guy like Lively You know, do they just keep putting more and more responsibility on that guy's plate? And so far, like, he continues to, especially the last, you know, six, 8 weeks, like, he just continues to handle everything. As long as he can be on the court, they can really make some of the stuff that Oral Roberts wants to get to tough. So it's a collective team effort. And I think one of the things that's gone under the radar with Duke this season is because they want to play lively closer to the level of the screen, they need guys on the backside to rotate and to make plays and to be synced up. And I think Mark Mitchell has really started to come along as a backside help defender. He saved a couple layups against Baycott during the final game against UNC. He had a big save. It was either the Miami or the UVA game, the ACC tournament in Greensboro. And so it's just been cool to see that light bulb sort of come on for him as a guy that can kind of put out fires when they pop up and help is needed on the backside of the defense.
All right. Before I move on to State, what is the key for Duke advancing apart from, defense? Because we know defense is their bread and butter. What is the key to Duke advancing, and how far do you think they go?
I think they can go really far. I don't know quite. I think I think some people are picking them all the way to the Final Four, and they're in a quadrant that I think they could, or they're in a part of the bracket that it really does look like the path is maybe there, and they're playing so well. So I can see why people are trending that are pushing or thinking maybe the stars are lining up. For me, though, I would really need to see Duke's offense, I think, jump a little bit more before I felt really comfortable putting them there. As a team that's you feel really comfortable about getting to the Final Four. But obviously the offense has been playing better recently. So for them to get past Oral Roberts, for them to continue to make a deep run, I think it really hinges on Filipowski offensively. He's going to put up numbers. He's going to, he's going to get points in the interior. But, if he has a hot stretch shooting from deep, that changes the game. If he continues to unlock things for other guys with his ability to draw double teams, his ability to force help in the middle of the court, his ability to be a pick and pop and a short roll partner for Jeremy Roach, those guys have been so good on those empty corner looks. And then certainly the high low stuff that they want to do with him either as a finisher or as a passer. So I think Filipowski, he's the guy that probably forces help the most as far as what opposing defenses have to worry about. And so again, I think if the offense is going to continue to trend upward and therefore perhaps get Duke for a deep postseason run, they need everybody. There's no one guy. I think that's been obvious for this team for a while now. They need the blend.
Right.
But Filipowski is the one guy that can really, really create advantages for them with his work as a screener and an interior scorer.
All right, let's move on to NC State. Brian Geisinger, now at Pac Broad, at BGeis_Bird. I didn't like the way they exited the ACC tournament. I really wish that their defense had been more consistently good of late. I still think that if they can defend in the half court like I know they're capable, I think they're a dangerous team here. Tell me about their keys, and what do you think about Creighton?
Yeah, as far as State goes, I just wish the offense could get, a little bit more – a little bit more movement, a little bit more randomness. I think defensively they had some, shortcomings with some of those late season Clemson games. But it was, for me, the loss to Clemson in Greensboro was a tough pill to swallow. Against Virginia Tech, literally their most efficient offensive game of the season. And one day later, literally their least efficient offensive game of the season. In that game against the third game against Clemson, it comes, a couple of weeks or, a week or two after the senior day matchup in Raleigh. And it was the same thing. It was just the same thing. It was just watching the same slow moving, accident for the second time in 2 weeks or whatever. And I think for a team like Clemson that can gap up and you know, clog up the paint and force guys like Smith and Joyner to have to get hot and shoot from over the top, and is going to force DJ Burns to try to go one-on-one and stay out of rotation. I just think the math immediately, unless one or both of Smith and Joyner are humming, all of a sudden the math is so tilted against NC State. And I do worry about that a little bit with Creighton. They've been known, I think, under Greg McDermott as like a offensive first team, like, yeah, like a 3-point shooting juggernaut. And I mean, they are that. They're top 25 in offensive efficiency. The 42% of their shots are threes this year, but they're also a very good defensive team. They have a guy, Ryan Kalkbrenner, at center. Who's the 2-time defensive player of the year in the Big East. I don't know if he maybe should have won that this year. I would have given it to Oso Iguodaro from Marquette, but Kalkbrenner is a guy that they use in drop coverage, right? He sinks as deep in the paint as you're going to see any center guard pick and roll in college basketball. It's kind of like if you watch Brook Lopez with the Bucks, like he's so far deep in the paint. And so they want to force you into taking off dribble mid-range twos, which I think plays into, and this is what I'm worried about, a bad habit of NC State's offense.
It's what State something, likes.
Something we've seen flare up. And Creighton is also an elite defensive rebounding team, and they don't foul. And so State has won games this season, not as like they don't get to the line that often, but they're a pretty good offensive rebounding team. And State doesn't turn the ball over. So they just won the possession game by taking like 10 more shots per game than their opponents have. And it's going to be tougher to achieve that against Creighton. And Creighton is just most likely going to be creating more efficient shots on the other side of the court. Like Creighton's defense, opponents have like under 30% of the field goals this season against Creighton's defense have been threes. And on the other side, 42% of Creighton's shots have been threes. They get to the rim. Their stat profile looks like what, you know, an NBA team is trying to do. Creighton gets to the rim and shoots kick-out threes. And defensively, they run you off the line, and they have Kalkbrenner in the paint. So they force you into taking a lot of tough mid-range twos. And so I just hope, State is not just solely depending on Smith and Joyner to get hot and make jumpers, because that can work. Like that totally can. Those dudes are incredible basketball players, and they can take Creighton and all Creighton's good players and all that math, and they can just throw it right out the window if both of those guys get cooking. But my hope is that State has some stuff sort of like lined up to go at Kalkbrenner in the drop coverage and go at this sort of like conservative defense. And I think State can do an okay job guarding them, though I do have some concerns there. But really, I sort of worry about State getting caught in the gears of Creighton's defense right now.
Yeah, look, it almost looks to me like Creighton is a better version of NC State of what they want to do. Neither team turns it over a lot. Right, Creighton doesn't force a lot of turnovers. State forces more, but neither team turns it over a lot. They're both really good at taking care of the ball. Creighton's a better 3-point shooting team than NC State is, but I think they're both more than capable 3-point shooting teams. Just looks like Creighton's is just a better version of it. But I think that if State can defend at a high level, I think that they can impact the game and maybe get a transition game going, which I'm certainly counting on. By the way, Virginia's, I think, got a 7-point lead. What is it? No, it's a 5-point lead at the half, 32-27 over Furman. Real quick on the other three ACC schools before I let Brian Geisinger go. UVA's chances in this event are what?
Virginia's very good. I think it really depends on Caden Shedrick continuing to play well. Thought he had a nice tournament in Greensboro. He had a nice first half against Furman today. And having a guy like that that profiles as potentially an NBA center with his size, his
Right.
ability to play above the rim, and his ground coverage gives them a different look. I just worry that the offense is not quite there, and I don't think Reese Beekman, I think he's their best player. I don't think he's been fully healthy since the hamstring injury against JMU back in, December, whenever that was. So for me, it would just be like, can Shedrick raise the floor of their defense enough to get it to play like a top, whatever unit? I just think ultimately they're going to be undone by their like the inability to be to really defend at that elite sort of like, usual Virginia level.
Right.
That the offense isn't there to sort of like bolster that.
All right, Miami.
I think it just depends on Norchad Omier. Like, it's so like reductive to go down that path, but like that they have one of the best 5-man lineups in the country. So does
yep.
Creighton, by the way. But without Omier, their numbers really fall off the table, and he's an important player for them on both sides of the court. His foot speed, guarding pick and roll as they want to do, usually aggressively, like trapping and hedging those screens, his ability to rebound. And then they have two probably NBA guards in the backcourt with Isaiah Wong and Nigel Pack.
Yep.
They run a lot of offense and initiate a lot of offense through the middle of the floor with Omier. And so to not have him, I mean, you could lean on Jordan Miller to do some of that stuff. And Jordan Miller is an awesome, awesome player.
Yeah.
But, I just think it's a little diminished unless Omier, can somehow get somewhere close to fully, as close as he can to 100%. And it just stinks because, like, with him, I think Miami's like a Sweet 16, Elite 8 team. Without him, I get a little worried.
I mean, they could lose to Drake with or without him. Drake is really good, too.
Yeah.
Yes or no, healthy Norchad Omier, Miami could be in the Final Four.
Yeah, yes, totally.
Okay, that's all I need to know.
Yeah,
I have Miami in the Final Four. I'm counting on Norchad Omier. I'm counting on him coming back. And on that note, we have to say goodbye to Brian Geisinger. The old league pass lair, and of course, Pack Pride,
right.
Devil's Den, Streaking the Lawn, all of it. @BGeis_Bird. I'll talk to you later, man.
Yeah, you guys be good.